This is a manual. Yeah. I have a number of manuals. I have a manual for a Honda Pan-European motorbike. And when I want to do certain things to it, I go and look at it, and I read the instructions, and then I go and do what needs to be done. I don't go and have a go at it and then find out I've broken something. Then I go and look at the manual and say, oh, if I'd have done that, I wouldn't have broke it, would I? It costs you more money then. And in the same way, broken lives need to be reading this manual. This manual puts lives back together. This manual is for living life on earth. This is not written for when you go to heaven. It's obsolete then. Because you will meet the very Word Himself.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
The risen Lord. Hallelujah. So this is now for living life on earth. So you need to be reading it.
Yeah. Get it right.
I'm going to keep saying this. You need to bring a Bible to church. Show me that you've got a Bible. Show me. Underline it. Mark it. Write in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make it yours. Make it yours. This, you know, sometimes I turn to some of my pages in here and there are notes in here, there are little scribbles I've put in, and it reminds me.
Yeah.
It puts me in remembrance of some of the promises of God that maybe years and years and years ago He gave me. I know Grace keeps a diary of the promises of God that have been given to us, and we tick them off step by step. You see, just because God gives you a promise now does not mean it's going to happen now or tomorrow. It might be that you have to begin to prepare to walk in that promise. It might be that you have been given a promise that you have to prepare yourself to walk in something that God has ordained for you. But you are not yet equipped. Hello? Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Good. I'm glad you haven't fallen asleep yet. You know, we're only 5 minutes in. Glory to Jesus. Praise His name. You know, I just got to check because I know you've eaten. You know, you've had curries and all sorts and etc. And I know I came down here. I said, bye, it's warm in here. And Steve says to me, you've had too much curry. Hallelujah. It is great to be able to celebrate Joshua's first birthday together. It's wonderful that we see what God has done. For those of you that were here earlier, you saw Daniel just to give thanks. For that young life. He broke down. Oh, I mean, come on. Yeah. You do. I am doing. Because, you know, I look at that young life and I realize that he wouldn't have existed if Grace and I had not journeyed the journey that we've journeyed. That God brought us into that relationship with the family. Even with Nichelle. Because part of that, there was a problem in the family with that. And the Lord brought us there to assist and to help. And, you know, we see two lives. We see Daniel's life transformed. And I thank God for that. And so the topic of today is train up a child to bring the kingdom of God into this world. Train up a child to bring the kingdom of God into this world. That's why you are here. That's why you were born. Some of you have had grandmothers praying for you. That you'd get saved. That your life would change. That you would be what God had promised them you would be. Some of you don't know people who have been praying for you. But they're praying for you. But you know, we need to begin to say, I'm going to move. I want to change. I'm going to be different. I am going to be what God has ordained me to be.
Yes.
You know, for me, I believe that there is a perfect will of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Perfect will of God. Listen. But also I believe there is a permissible will.
Yeah.
That you can end up journeying your journey and going off on a sidetrack that God really doesn't want you to go down there, because that will not bring forth the best fruit.
Yeah.
God will cover you.
Yeah.
But the best fruit is in that perfect will of God.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said in the garden, Lord, you know, he's about to go to the cross. If this cup can pass from me, can we journey the imperfect way? Can we journey another journey, Lord? If not, nevertheless, let thy perfect will be done in my life.
Amen.
Think about that for a moment. What happens if God had said to Jesus, well, son, if you don't feel you can go through and do the perfect will, we'll just have this permissible will. But that means that millions and millions will be lost and go to hell. Think about it. Yeah, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will. Hello? Not my will. Anybody got a will? I don't mean one that you write out for, you know, when you die. I mean, have you got a will? I've got a will to live. I've got a will to do the work of the kingdom of God. I've got a will that I want to do certain things with my life.
Amen.
And Jesus says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, Father, let it be done. And the will of the Father was that he would sacrifice his own only precious Son to die upon that cross. You know, this week when he walked into Jerusalem, they celebrated. Oh, great, you know, this great healer, deliverer, he's come to set us free. And there they were, casting their palm branches and everything, rejoicing and shouting, Hosanna, 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 you know, our deliverer, our deliverer. Wait while we get to next week. Crucify! Crucify! Wow, how people can change in 7 days. I wish it could happen that people would change from the crucify to, let's follow the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm praying, Lord, bring that to being.
Yeah.
Let there be a quick harvest, O God. Let there be a great increase.
Amen.
Amen. That's not the message. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 22. That's in the Old Testament. Just after the book of Psalms. Proverbs chapter 22. And verse 6. Chapter 22 of Proverbs and verse 6. King Solomon says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. Give them good training. Give them good discipline. Give them the Word of God. Teach them the love of God. Teach them the Word of God. And as you teach them and love them with the Word of God, The promise is they will not depart. It always will be there. You know, Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've told a story before of a little boy in a Scottish school, and the teacher, and it was a shepherding area, they had sheep, and the teacher was reading from Psalm 23, and the little boy, you know, said, because it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd, etc., the Lord is my shepherd. So he said, the Lord have sheep, have a dog? And the teacher said, no, he didn't have any dogs. Oh. So he went home. He says, well, he can't be a good shepherd because every good shepherd has good sheep dogs. So he went home and his granddad said to him, what have you been learning at school today? Well, he said he was teaching us about Psalm 23. And he started telling us about the good shepherd. But granddad, you've told me every time that a good shepherd always has good sheepdogs. And it says that this shepherd in the Bible didn't have sheepdogs. So his grandfather says, let's have a look. He began to turn the scripture over. He began to read. And then he got to that verse, I think it's verse 6, where he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He said, there they are. He said he had a sheepdog called Surely, and the other one was called Goodness. Sorry, Goodness and Mercy. Goodness and Mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, you know, guys, that we've got a dog. We've only had him 12 months. Well, just under 12 months. And tell you what, everywhere I go, he is there. I turn around, I fall over him. You know, he's there all the time. So I know that Jesus knows what, God knows what he's talking about. Jesus knows what he's talking about. You know, somewhere, something is following. The sense and the presence of the Spirit is continually nudging us. The only thing that you and I have got to do is smarten up a bit and just recognize that nudge. Otherwise, you're going to get one of these. You know, it'll be more than a nudge. Come on. You see, this is why we've been teaching in Bible school about listening to the Holy Spirit, learning to hear from God through the gifts of the Spirit. And as we do that, and we recognize the voice of God, my sheep, it says, hear my voice. That's what the Bible says. That's what God is saying. My sheep, Jesus, my sheep, they hear my voice. So often we're busy giving it all of it. Moaning, complaining, just asking God for things instead of listening. You see, God knows your need before you ask. Who knows exactly what is happening tomorrow? Now, you might have something in your diary for tomorrow, but that's not all day. Who knows who's going to come across your path? Who knows what is going to happen tomorrow? None of us can say that. The Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, knows what's happening tomorrow. And He has also made provision. He's already got supplies ready for tomorrow. Oh, aren't you glad about that? He's already gone before us. Praise His wonderful name. And we need to teach this to people. We need to encourage people. We need to teach children. That train them up in the things of God. We've always put a strong emphasis on the Word of God. Some people say you put too much on it. Well, I don't think you put too much on a good thing. You know, it's meat to your soul. It's power to your spirit. It's keeping for your body. It's health to your bones. This is what the Word tells us. So you and I need to have a good dose of the Word of God, a good knowledge of the Word of God in our lives. I'm not saying that you remember everything, but you know, if you don't read it, how can the Holy Spirit bring it back to your remembrance? Don't happen, does it? So you and I need to be in this Word and read it and just let it and soak in it. Anybody likes to go and have a soak in the bath? You know, just a Redox soak in the bath. Not that you can afford to put the heating on that much to boil that much water, eh, these days. Ah, oh, blow that. Just do it. Just soak there. Soak those tired muscles and you get that refreshing, don't you? And you think, yeah. The Word of God, when you begin to read the Word of God and you let it soak into your very being, it refreshes. It refreshes. I think it was this last Wednesday. We came to church. And I'll admit, I came to church tired. I gladly would have stayed at home. And I think I have enough stars on my star card. Do you remember them when you went to Sunday school? Yeah. I think I've got enough stars on my star card to say, oh, you can have a Wednesday off. But I didn't want to have Wednesday off. And when I arrived, it was like, who's speaking tonight? Thanks, Daniel. And Grace is like, well, I'm not. Daniel says, well, I haven't got anything. I said, oh. Don't think I have neither. But you see, I went to the well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to the well. And I just pumped a little bit of the well. And it came up. And it filled my soul.
Amen. Amen.
And I said, I've got it. And you know, if you'd have said to me, well, what did you preach on? I'm glad we're doing videos and tapes and that, because I'd known, you know, no notes. And it's like, oh boy. And if someone said, what, do you remember what you preached on Wednesday? No, I don't actually. Seriously, I don't. I have to watch again because so much else has happened. But it was just something was stirring within my spirit and it just came up. The Lord blessed us. I was blessed when I got home. I was, I had been injected with something. Glory to God. Praise His wonderful name. I was high when I got home. Bless the Lord. And, you know, you just can't go to bed at that point. It's, you know, everything's switched on. I'm wired. Praise God. But it's being in this Word, being trained in this Word, spending time in this Word that allows that to happen. That the Spirit of God can say to you, He can just pour into you. And it comes up. And we begin to minister. And we speak into people's lives. And yet we know nothing about what we're doing. But He, the Spirit of God, knows all things. And He speaks into lives that we come across day by day. And that's what we've got to do. We need to be the ones that are speaking into people's lives and changing lives for His praise and for His glory. Praise His name. So let's turn to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 4. And verses 9 through to 13, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 through to 13. And this is Moses speaking to the people. And he says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely,
so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart. As long as you live, teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Hebron, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear the words, hear my words, so that they may learn to reverence me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant. Wow. I'm just going to say something, and just recently I've been asked, can you hear the voice of God? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 through to verse 13. The people stood at the foot of the mountain, and there was fire, smoke, thunder, and then the voice of God. Jesus said in the New Testament, my sheep hear my voice. Praise God.
Amen.
You might say, well, I don't think I've heard the voice of God. Much of that, I think, is because, you know, you've not been guided and directed and encouraged. That, yeah, you did. When you were talking to the Lord, you heard him. But it's learning to recognize his voice. I believe that each and every one of us can hear the voice of God, because that's God's intention, because God wants to have a relationship with you on a one-to-one basis. Because we go back to Genesis, and in the beginning, in the garden, in the cool of the evening, God came to speak with Adam and Eve. Is that not true? Does that not say that God wants to have a one-to-one relationship with you? Oh, don't get excited about it, you know. Oh, just keep it low-key. I said God wants to have a one-to-one conversation with you, Ava, Michael, Shirley, Ken, David. He wants to have a one-to-one. A direct line. You know, when we first started Harvest Fields Ministry, our telephone was red hot. People with their problems, difficulties, always ringing up, wanting prayer, wanting advice. It was wearing me out. So we prayed and prayed, the Lord said, just keep teaching them the word. Keep teaching them the word. Keep pointing them to me. And we got to a point, or we have got to a point, where we were encouraging people, ask God for yourself. And then, if you're still not sure, come back and tell us what you think God's told you. And then we'll pray together. Well, I'll tell you what, once we started that, the phone stopped ringing. And I tell you this, it rarely rings. Thank the Lord. You see, you've got your own direct line. Why come through the operator system? You know, you might get some crackle on the line. You might get a wrong signal from me for some reason, you know. Go direct.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if then you're not sure, come on, you know, and share it, and we'll pray through these things.
Yes,
let me tell you this. It's not wrong to make a mistake. You know, it's part of your journeying. Because is there anybody here who's never made a mistake apart from Charles? I don't see any hands going up, so it looks like you're the top of the class, Charles. Praise God. That's all right. No, I was just joking. But, you know, we've all made mistakes. The only problem is then that those mistakes we've made, the devil starts to nag on them. He's like a nagging woman. Sorry, ladies. I'm using scripture. You know, it says in scripture, like a dripping tap. You know? And that's what the devil's like. He just keeps dripping on you, dripping on you, dripping on you, dripping on you, dripping on you. And you don't see the wear. You see, that water eventually will wear that stone away. Or if you've ever been up to Mother Shipton's well up at Knaresborough, you can hang something there, and over the period of years, you could hang a cloth hat, shall we say. And over the period of years, it will suddenly become totally calcified, that it is just like a rock. And it becomes a rock hat. And it becomes covered in this calcification. But the real hat has been encased and restricted, and the beauty of it has been covered by some ugliness. And you know, God wants you to be His glory. God wants you to shine for Him. And it's through the Word of God that you and I can shine for Jesus. It's the only way. There isn't another way. You can hear the voice. And guess what? Andrew and Grace and Daniel and the church leadership want you to hear God. Because we want you to come and tell us what God told you. Because we'd be excited. Because it happens that God tells me something, and then God might tell Daniel something, and he says, "Do you know, I was praying, and God said this." I'm like, "Well, do you know something? God told me that as well."
It happened this week.
Well, yeah, I gather it. I didn't look too deep into it. I gather that scripture I put on and those comments on Messenger this week, it sparked off a few things with people that, you know, God said that to me this morning. God, and I'm thinking, okay. And we weren't reading from the same daily notes.
No, we weren't.
Because I don't use your daily notes. I use something else. No. So, but it was the Word of the Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I love that. When it's, you know, when so many things are just coming together, they're just clicking into place, and you think, wow. You know, when a meeting starts and we've not said, oh, what are you speaking on? What scripture you got? And it just flows through because that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in each and every one of you. Hallelujah. It's that same Spirit. And we've got to catch that. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 through to 9. Again, hear, O Israel. I'm just going to just add to that. Hear, O spiritual Israel. Come on, church. God is talking to you. God is speaking to His children. Are you a child of God?
Yes.
Well, God is talking to you. Here. Probably put, you could put your name in there. Here, O Mike. The Lord your God. The Lord is one.
Amen.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength.
Yes.
Hallelujah. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them in the door frames of your house and on the gates. In other words, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, make sure the Word of God is around you.
Amen.
We have on the mirrors, you know, you're getting washed in the morning, you look in the mirror and there's a scripture. Rejoice in the Lord, you know. He restores thy youth like the eagles. Thank God for that. You know, I'm looking a bit this morning. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. He is your healer. You know, you get up and you're not feeling well. Lord, the Word says you are my healer. I receive that healing right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And stand there and let the Lord pour it in. Don't rush off. Don't rush off. Don't have a microwave breakfast with Jesus. Have a good breakfast with Jesus. You know, they used to say, you know, start the day on a good breakfast. Bacon, egg, tomatoes, and beans and mushrooms. Oh, man. Sets you up for the day, you know, you can go through the day. Hallelujah. These days they just take these little snick snacks, don't they? You know, in a bar, you know, on the move meal. Started doing that with the Word of God, you know. I think they've done a Bible that's like the 1 minute Bible. How do you get a 1 minute Bible? I've never understood the title, let alone even tried to read it. I'm thinking, huh? Or speed? Oh yeah, I know, but I mean that's okay. I mean you can. I remember when I used to be on the road repping. It used to be great having the Bible on cassette or CD. Put it in. I could go from here to Manchester and back and I could do all of Matthew's Gospel. 26 chapters plus, you know, it's like, wow, praise God, you know. But it's not the same as reading. But the fact is, you know, you're hearing the Word and the Word is active within your hearts and in your life. It's feeding you. Not studying it, but I'm listening to it and it's feeding you. And so you need to be doing this. You need to have this Word. And Moses is saying to the people, you spirit-filled people, the people of God, these are chosen people. They were being delivered out of captivity. They'd been there for 400 years. And God says, come on, out. And the miracles he did to bring them out. And then the Lord's saying to him, remember what I did for you.
Amen.
Keep reminding yourself. Write them down. Keep telling everybody what I've done. And I must admit, we forget things. We forget things that have happened on our journey when you've been journeying 50 years. And some of the exciting miracles and you know, and I try sometimes, I'm talking with somebody and suddenly something pops up and I think, oh, I have to write that one down. And I've started writing them down. Because these are reminders of God at work. These are reminders of God doing things. These are the reminders of God performing miracles. These are the reminders of God setting captives free. And these are the exciting things that are going on in your life. And in today's churches, sadly, and if I'm wrong, tell me, but into a lot of churches, there are very few healings and miracles going on. Am I wrong? Have you found that? Have you been anywhere to look? Have you found that there's little of the Word of God being preached? There's little happening. There's plenty entertainment. But where are the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that the church was commanded, or the disciples were commanded, to go and do? When was the last time we prayed for somebody to be healed? When was the last time somebody was healed? When was the last time you witnessed to somebody and shared the love of Jesus? I'm not trying to put guilt on you, but what I'm trying to express to you is that we need to be sharing who Jesus is. There's a world out there that is dying, and it's not because of global warming. They pressed my button the other night on TV, going on about global warming again, and you know, the UN has now said it. If we don't do something drastic now, that's the end of civilization as it is. Let me tell you this. The UN has not been able to change human nature yet. And now they're going to change Mother Nature, as the world terms it. They're going to change how the world functions. Really? You can't even change the human nature of two or three individuals. Look what we've got happening in Russia and with the Ukraine. The state of human nature. But you see, we've pushed God out. We don't need you, God. Obsolete. No longer. A need. We only need God now and again to just rubber stamp something. You know, we come up with all of our ideas and we go to God and say, look, God, this is what we're going to do. Can you just stamp your Holy Spirit on that one? You might think I'm being flippant about it, but I think this is the way it is, honestly. He don't rubber stamp anything. But the people think he does. Oh, we had him real... The distribution book business that we had, we used to do shows and events and that. And I remember one of the last events I went to. And it was at the end of the event, I was packing up. I was glad to get away. Because it was about as spiritual as a freezing winter's morning. And I walked past two young guys. And I heard their conversation. And it was, wow, you know, did you feel that? It was real power and presence of God. Did you feel it? And I'm like, where have you been? Or where have I been? Because, and I'm thinking, if you think that's the presence and power of God, you've not experienced nothing yet. And do you know something, folks? Grace and I, on our journey so far, have experienced some interesting encounters with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and people. Grace and I could keep you talking all night, couldn't we, Robert? Yeah. Right through to the next day. Can't we, Robert? Thank you. It's easy, isn't it? Did we bore you, by the way? No. Did you fall asleep? No. Okay, that's good. But, so what I'm saying is, there are so many things that we can tell stories of. And they're not stories in the sense of just made up stories. The facts of things that have actually happened. But do you know something? I am not satisfied yet.
No way.
I am still hungry.
Amen.
There is something else that I need to see and do in the things of God. And so I keep reminding myself of the things that God has done.
Amen.
And what His Word says, and say, well, God, I haven't seen that yet.
Yes.
I'm still believing for that, Lord. You made a promise to us on that, and it hasn't yet come to fulfillment.
Amen.
So I've got the old boiler going, and the fire's burning, and the pressure's up, and I'm ready to go.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Are you, Dave? Are you ready to go, David? Praise God. Hallelujah. There's only one way. There's only one way. And that's the way of God. There's not another way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. You know, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, there's much in Proverbs that talks and speaks about early learning. Early learning and training in the things of God so that they become habits. You see, most of us drive our vehicles out of a habit. See, my car has a plastic thing that you push in and then you push a button to start it. Grace's car has a key and you have to twist it. So when I swap cars, I'm pushing a button on a twist car. It don't work, you see. Have you ever driven somewhere and got there and suddenly think, how did I get here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? You've done it with a coach, my God. Saints preserve us, don't ask him to drive a coach. You know, it's, how did we get here? But we did. Just because, it's just a thing that you just do it. There are things that you do just automatically without even thinking. We need to be like this with the Word of God. And you can only get like that when you spend time in the book.
Amen.
When you spend time with the book and the author of the book.
Yeah.
And when you do that, and then God gives you a word and says, go to church and tell them you've got a word from God. Oh, glory to God. I'd love it, you know, if 30-odd people came and said, I've got a word from God.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Line up.
Let's
hear what Almighty God has got to say to us.
Yeah.
And I tell you this, if we're really hearing God, there'll be confirmation after confirmation after confirmation after confirmation, and God will do something in our lives and in the area around us.
Amen.
Start to be disciplined. Start being consistent. It is so important. And sometimes, church, we need to shut up and listen to God.
Yeah.
Lord, come. And that's why even in our times of worship, we'll give that time. Does the Lord want to say something? Does the Lord want to move? Does the Lord want to change the meeting in any way? I mean, I've been in church meetings when we've never had, the Word of God was not preached. There was just a move of the Spirit of God. And it's like, well, we ain't preaching today, are we? No, we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do it. I've seen meetings that started at 7:30 on an evening and finish at 2 o'clock in the morning. And we didn't have a preacher.
No.
But the Holy Spirit. We had a move of God. And that was in a youth meeting. And the power of God was moving through young people and touching them and changing their lives. And they were having a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit, with God Almighty. And the next morning when I went into that very same room, there was a presence of God. And it's like we need to have that presence. We carry a presence. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 13 and 14. Don't think that you're not smart enough, that you're not clever enough for Jesus to be bothered with you. Because Jesus His disciples were trying to keep the children away from him. And Jesus, in verse 13 and 14, says, "Then the children they brought to him, that he might lay hands upon them and pray." The disciples rebuked the people. They thought, you know, they're only children. They're the church. Amen. They can be anointed Amen. With the Holy Spirit. You young guys, you can be anointed if you want with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But you've got to have a desire.
Yeah.
You've got to desire this. If you don't desire this, you'll not get it.
Yeah.
You know, we sang that song, "This is my desire." Desire is stronger than willpower.
Yeah.
And as you desire things in God, you'll see God moving. And the disciples rebuked the people and said, And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And he laid his hands on them and went away. You know, Jesus wants to touch you.
Amen.
Jesus wants to touch you. You see, Jesus, his death, resurrection and life was to restore what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. It was all about restoring that relationship back to the Creator. And this is what God wants for each and every one of us. I've just picked up a book, a small book actually. It's about an English evangelist. Probably just about nobody's ever heard of him. It's called William Grimshaw. It's the right name, that, isn't it? From Lancashire. But he lived in Yorkshire. And he lived in Hebden Bridge. It was before the Brontes. You know, Hebden Bridge is famous now because of the Brontes. He was there before. He had gatherings of over 6,000 people at the church. He travelled all around North Yorkshire preaching and ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. He planted churches. Nobody knows about him. Nobody's heard his name. Somebody found four messages that had been prepared to print during his lifetime but were never printed. And they were hidden away in the Methodists. Thank God for the Methodists, for keeping the stuff safe. And so it's been revealed. And this book is a real encouraging book. And and this is happening 300 years ago. 300 years ago. This guy is preaching Christ the risen Lord. He's preaching redemption and salvation. He's preaching restoration. And now I'm going to give you a quote from him. And again, it's from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 6. It says this: "Son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." The devil's no gentleman when it comes to hell and his collecting basket. He wants to destroy humanity. He wants to destroy your children, your grandchildren. And he wants to destroy you. And if we don't wise up, if we don't take it up and do something about it, then we'll lose another generation for Jesus. Don't sit back and do nothing. Yes, he says, William Grimshaw, "God demands your heart. The heart is the field out of which God looks for a plentiful crop of glory." If the heart be for God, then all is for God.
Yeah.
Our affections, our will, our desires, our tears, our time, our strength, our prayer, our giving, our estates, our body, our souls, all are for God.
Amen.
And that's where the church has got to come to. That's where the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ have got to come to. You can't be dipping in and out and walking the fence and saying, you know, it's okay, I'm in the church with one leg and I'm in the world with the other leg. Because all that will do is show that you're crippled.
Yeah.
And you're held captive by the world. He goes on to say, the heart is the presence chamber for the King of Glory. You see, the heart, the very heart of humanity, the very heart of a person, the individual, that is where the presence of God seeks to indwell.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, he says, which is most worthy in us should be entirely His.
Yeah.
Who is most worthy?
Yeah.
The body, he says, is but a cabinet. The soul is the jewel of the cabinet. The body is but a cabinet. The soul is the jewel of the cabinet. Wow. Just think about that for a moment. Just let your imagination run. He goes on to say, he says, there are too many professing Christians who have no mind to give God their heart. This is 300 years ago. What's changed? I go to church on Sunday, I'm okay. I go once a week, or I go once a month, that's okay. Is it? How many times did you eat this week? Are you sacrificing your spirit for your own entertainment's sake? Just for an easy life? Oh, it's easier to go the way of the world. Yeah, just float downstream. You don't have to paddle. If you're going to get anywhere, you've got to paddle upstream. There's going to need some exercise. There's going to need some work in the Word of God. And you're going to have to paddle forward and keep moving forward. And the moment you stop doing that, you start to go backwards. Because the current of the world pushes you back.
Yeah.
And I as individuals in the church, we have to paddle and push through the things of this world and say, there's no turning back. I'm pushing forward. I'm not going the way of the world. I'm not having their standards. I'm going for better standards. I'm moving forward in God.
Yes. Praise God.
But the moment you stop paddling, you begin to drift back.
Yeah.
You're going back again. You've got to make a decision. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep going. But you've got to get somebody on board with you.
Yeah.
Get the Word of God. Get the Spirit of God on board with you and help push you forward. Stop being distracted by the things of this world.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about all this global warming and everything. Why is all this happening? Because everybody is being gunned by the advertising. You need a new car. You need a new washing machine. I mean, these latest washing machines. You need a new iPhone. There's the latest one out. You know, the one you've got is now obsolete. It's no good. Why? It still makes phone calls. It still gets on the internet. Still reads all the messages. Oh, I need the new one. I've got to be hip. I've got to be part of the in crowd. You know, I've got to have the next new clothing. We saw the next new clothing in Marks and Spencer's the other day. Jeans again with holes in them. All right. If I'd gone to work in them, my boss would have sent me home and said, they're dangerous. You can't come to work in them. True? They think I've been, you know, boy, that kid's poor, isn't he? Hey, can't afford work jeans. And then everybody's chasing the next thing. Chasing after it. What you got? Is it working okay? Yeah. Well, why do you want another one? Now, for me, I always buy the best I can go for. I save up for it. I buy the best. Because do you know what? It's going to last and I won't have to replace it. Now, we've lived in this house 40 odd years. Huh?
Long time.
It is a long time. We bought a carpet 40 odd years ago. It's still the same carpet after 40 years. Is there a thread showing anywhere? Is it worn out anywhere? It's absolutely immaculate. And it's had traffic on it like you'd never believe. Now it's got a dog, for goodness sake. Whoever came up with that idea needs to be talked to. Me. We don't get bored with it. We're happy. We're content. It's not what we're focusing on. But we're comfortable. Now, I know people who buy these cheap carpets and they probably spent more money than we did on this very expensive carpet. And it was expensive. It was the top of the range. I'll admit it. But I've got to admit, I like good stuff. I'm sorry. I like the best. If I can buy it, I'll buy the best because I know it's going to last. I'm not one for swapping and changing. You see, I've had a wife now for nearly 50 years. I haven't swapped her.
My mom's
59, brother. Yours for 59, then she left for another man, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus. She got a better guy. She's waiting for you. I know that, David. We all know that. Bless the Lord. Gee. But you see, we're chasing things and the world's burning itself out. You know, it's the world's ways. Instead of being satisfied, you know, Paul says, you know, I'm content in whatever situation I'm in. Can you be content? Can you be content in whatever God places you into? I know how to abound, I know how to obey, be abased. Hallelujah. William goes on to say, let heart and lip, let words and works, let prayer and practice go together. A little done with the heart is far better than a great deal done without the heart. And when people do things for God with a heart for God, it is far better than when people do something begrudgingly. You know, it's like, oh, don't bother, forget it. You know, I'd rather have people who've got a passion that I'm doing this for Jesus. And so no matter what I do, it will be the best.
Yeah.
You know, some people come along and say, I'll give you a hand. The next thing you know, it's like, I wish they hadn't bothered. Because they didn't really want to be involved. But I've got to make it look as if I'm going to do something. Thank God we don't have them like that here. We have people who say, I'm doing this for God.
Amen.
My reward's in heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He goes on to say, he that is God who regards the heart will only regard that which is done with the heart. So whatever you do, God is looking at your heart.
Yeah.
Not the outside of what you've done. He's looking how you are operating from your heart.
Yeah.
And finally he goes on and says, son, daughter, give me your heart. That's what the Lord wants. He wants your heart. I used to say this in Bentley when the leadership was panicking about the finances. Oh, we need money for this and money for that. I said, you get the people's heart. You get the money. You get everything that they have. If you've got their heart, if they've got a heart for the work of God and for the things of God, you've got everything you need. Everything you need. It's about everything that Jesus needs. It's about belonging to Jesus. It's about being the Christ in the situation. And we need Christ to be central in all that we are and all that we do. Today, Almighty God is looking for the hearts of men and women. He's not looking for decisions. But He's looking for hearts that are totally surrendered to God. Hearts and lives that will live and let Christ live through them. And not let the world have its control and dominion over them. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22, he says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Hallelujah. I've got something to live for. Have you? I have an eternity that I am living for. I'm so excited, you know. When I go, all I'm going to do is swap suits. I'm just going to leave this earthly suit and swap it for an eternal suit. But the me will be there in that eternal suit. Hallelujah. Because we're in process of being changed into His very image. I want to be in the very image of Almighty God as He meant me to be. As He created me to be. And you to be. But get in the Word. Let the Word do its work in you and I. How are you going to live your life? How you live it will determine your future. The future of your children. The future of your grandchildren. How you live it. You cannot be a part-timer with Jesus. You cannot be a part-time Christian. And you cannot expect God to bless you being a part-time believer. I'm sorry. You know, I hear people saying, well, this has gone wrong in my life. That's gone wrong in my life. And I think, what's your relationship like with Jesus? Yeah. And being quite honest, it's crap. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but, you know, let's say it as it is. It's absolutely crap. It stinks. Because you don't have a relationship. All you're doing with Jesus is, you've got your card, you think, and you go into the machine, and you've got a PIN number, J-E-S-U-S, and you're hoping that it's going to deliver something out of the slot. And you're using God as a slot machine. Yeah. And if you're doing that, then you haven't got a relationship. No. Because in truth, God knows what you need. He shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Yeah. And we have to come to that place where we're going along, and in our relationship as we're walking along with Jesus, and suddenly there's a need that comes in our lives, and suddenly the need is there. The need is met. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? Now, I shared a few weeks ago, I think, about the fact of somebody who gave us a church gave us $1,000 in the USA. We were in a meeting, and God spoke to me and said, I want you to give an offering to this new building project for this new centre that they're going to build. I didn't have a job, by the way. And the Lord said, I want you to give them $1,000. Right. Well, I didn't have $1,000 on me. So I said, okay, Lord, when I get home,
we'll raise $1,000 and we'll send it across. Well, unbeknown to us, while the church meetings were going on in this conference, people were putting envelopes in the offering with Grace and my name on it. Didn't know anything about it. And a couple of days before we were to go, the pastor said, "Are you coming for a ride with me? I'm going to the bank. We'll go and get a bite to eat." And off we went to the bank and we waited in the car. Then he came out, sat in the car and gave us an envelope. I said, "What's this?" He said, "Well, people have been putting money in the offering with your name on it." "Oh, why?" We were speakers there, but they did. I did share at one meeting. And so when he said to me then, he said, "There's $1,000. I went, "Hallelujah, praise God. Amen." And he gave it to me. So I took it in one hand, I put it in the other hand, and I said, "There you are." I gave it him back. I said, "God told me I had to leave you $1,000. I didn't have $1,000, but I said yes. I didn't know how we were going to get $1,000, but I said yes. And before I left, I'd got $1,000 and I gave it. I never had it, I never missed it, but I got the blessings of being able to give $1,000. I mean, what can get better than that? I believe that as you sow, so shall you reap.
Yeah.
You know, that $1,000 has been a bonus for us, as it, you know, because there's a harvest coming from that.
Amen.
But it didn't cost me a diddly squat. Financially, it cost me commitment. Are you prepared to say yes?
Amen.
Do it and God turns up. Do it and God turns up. Don't be a part-time Christian. Be a 24/7. Be a 24/7.
Yeah.
Totally committed. Don't play fast and loose with God. Because you'll come unstuck. Because the devil's waiting for the first time you're loose.
Yeah.
And he'll have you. And remember this. For each and every one of us, there is a reckoning day when we stand before the Lord of glory. Will you hear? Will I hear? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And I'll leave you with that question. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of us have grown cold in our relationship. It's time to stoke the fire. It is time to let the Spirit of God move. It is time to get past the old hurts and the wounds of the past. It is time to release them and it is time to get set on fire. It's time to be enthused with the things of God. It's time to trust Him to the level of saying, "I'm going to walk on water."
Amen.
"Whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it."
Amen.
"Whatever you're asking me to do, Lord, I'll do it."
Yeah.
And press through and let's see God moving in power.
Amen.
Let's see God changing lives. The lives that we touch day by day. And that when lives come in, that we are preciously, purposefully anointed to heal, set free, and deliver.
Amen.
Those who are held bound.
Yeah.
by the grip of Satan, by the ties of the devil, and to break the power of the enemy in people's lives. The addictions that are going on in the world today. And to let God break the power. Let the Spirit of God move. And bring destruction. But it's calling for you. It's calling for you to set on fire. It's calling for you to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm here. I'm going to do this. I'm available, God. I'm going to press in. I'm going to change. I am going to be different. I am going to be like you want me to be. The world is not going to hold me back. The world is not going to form me and shape me into its image.
But I am going to be formed and shaped into the image of Almighty God.
Amen.
To be on the vessel. That vessel on that wheel, on that potter's wheel, and the potter, God, takes his hand and he begins to shape you and to mould you with a purpose and a plan for you. Yeah, but Andrew, you don't know what I've gone through. No, you don't know what I've gone through neither. The past behind me.
Amen.
The cross before me.
Amen.
No turning back.
No.
You know, when Lot looked back at her life, Lot's wife, she became a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
Quit looking back.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they hurt me. No, God does, but give it up.
Yeah.
Give it up at the cross. Don't look back. Don't drag it on, because you'll turn into a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Move on.
Amen.
Yell at the devil.
Amen.
In a good Yorkshire way, tell him to sod off.
Amen.
You've had enough. And walk on. Saying, I'm having no more of this.
No.
The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. And that's when you go from victory to victory to success to success. Yes, there'll be the odd tumbles and falls, but that's what happens when you're in an army. That's what happens when you're in warfare. You get a few bumps and bruises and cuts. Well, man up. God didn't call you. Jesus didn't call you. He said, well, nothing will happen to you. I'll just mamby-pamby you. You'll be okay.
No.
He told you straight. Some will be murdered, crucified. Everything can happen to us. But the only thing they can't change is our eternal destiny when we keep Christ in the very centre of our hearts and our lives.
Amen.
Our eternal destiny is secure when we keep Christ in the very centre of our lives. So this word is not just about teaching children, it's about teaching yourself. What are you letting your children watch? That's a good question, isn't it? I better wind down, hadn't I, because... Hallelujah. God loves you. But you know, sometimes Heavenly Father has to bring his stick out and bring some discipline and say, come on, child. You know, my dog. They say, they're very sensitive, spaniels. Don't raise your voice to them. What? He knows when he's crossed the line. He's 1 year old, right? He knows when he's crossed the line, bless him. Oh, okay, I realise that. I mean, the other day I was out walking him. I've got him trained to a point now when we're walking down the road splits. I said to him, turn right. He turned right. And somebody said to me, there was somebody walking there, and they said, did he just do that? I said, yeah, I've got him trained. You can't do that. Really? I'm told they can't understand English. Whatever. He understands. He knows what I say to him. If I can train a dog who's got a small mind, I'm told also, they can only hold 300 words. I'm not so sure about that. Surely, this word of God can train us,
yeah.
Shape us,
yeah.
Mould us. And we can hear the voice
yeah.
of the Master saying, turn left, turn right, go straight on, speak. God loves you enough that He wants to speak to you. That's why God saved you. That's why God sent Jesus. Because He wanted to reconnect with you. But it is time to stop messing around, stop playing half church, and start being full church.
Amen.
And get committed to Him and a relationship and build the body of Christ.
Yes.
I tell you, when folks start seeing things happening here, start hearing things happening here, when we take it out there. But the body's got to start functioning fully for the glory of God.
Amen.
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 Let's bow our heads for a moment, please. Father, we just thank You for Your precious Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit that moves upon us. We thank You, Lord, for Your desire to have a complete relationship with us. We thank You, Father, that You sent Jesus to die upon that cross. Though they celebrated Him entering into Jerusalem with victory and excitement, within a few days they crucified Him. They called out, "Crucify, crucify." Lord, we say, we thank You that You surrendered to that perfect will of the Father. We thank You, Lord, that You went on that cross and died for our sicknesses and for all our diseases. Thank You, Lord, that You died so that we might be fully equipped for works of service. And Father, right now, I just pray that as we bow our heads before You, that, Lord, we would surrender all to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Lord, we just pray that this will begin to happen, that surrendering of our lives. That, Lord, it will be to Your praise and to Your glory. And right now, I'm just going to ask if there's anybody here who has never given their hearts to Jesus, who's never surrendered to Christ. If you've never done it, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, raise your hand and if you want to follow Jesus. Raise your hand if you want to know this Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Raise it and raise it with meaning. Don't half-heartedly put it up. You know, make a stand for Jesus. Do you want to follow Christ? Do you want to know this Jesus? Do you want to know this God that we know? Thank You. You put it down. Anybody else? Following Christ. It's a 100% commitment. No messing. Jesus gave absolutely everything for you and for me. I'm just going to ask now if there's those of us that have grown cold-hearted, have got lost a little bit along the way in our journey with the Lord, and you just want to make a fresh commitment to say, "Yes, Lord, I want more of You. I want more of You. I want more of You. Lord, I surrender that You just more of You will come into my heart and into my life." Just raise your hand now. And let's pray with you. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Amen. Any more? 6. Hallelujah. Totally committed to Jesus, giving Him everything. Any more? Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. I see your hand. Thank you. Bless the Lord. Amen. Father, we just thank You for hands that have been raised, for a desire to follow You. Lord, for a fresh relationship, a deeper relationship and walk with You, Father. Lord, there's what seems to us maybe a price to pay, but it is just a small price. So, Lord, we just say, come into our hearts, come into our lives afresh. Pour in a tremendous filling and overflowing.
Amen.
for your praise and for your glory, Lord. We just ask you for this.